In the name of the Father, and Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise and glory. Father, you are the creator of all. You have created us as men. You have destined us for greatness. Shake us, O Lord, until only you, the unshakable, remain. Then instill within us the blazing and untamed passion of Jesus Christ. Send your Holy Spirit to be with our brotherhood this morning. Call us out of ourselves. Show us how to take up our crosses and follow you. Join us together in virtue and brotherhood, so that once we have taken up those crosses, we can follow you with courage, Lord, to the end of our days. That we might storm heaven and bring an army of souls with us. Paratum cor meum Deus, paratum cor meum. My heart is ready, O God. My heart is ready. Amen. Saint Joseph.
Pray for us.
Saint John Bosco.
Pray for us.
Saint John Paul II.
Pray for us.
In the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Gentlemen, make some noise this morning. You guys look good. You can have a seat. You're not going to sit for long, so get comfortable for the next couple of minutes. How did everybody sleep last night? You look pretty good. Hey, I'm just curious. Did anybody get less than 6 hours of sleep last night? All right, how many of you think you got less than four? Are you serious? Less than three? Less than two? All right, who's pretty convinced they didn't sleep at all last night? Shoot, dang. I'm impressed. How many cups of coffee you had this morning? I heard one. I see zero. I see two. Gentlemen, there is something so beautiful about brotherhood. I'm going to let you in on a little secret. I have a confession. This is my favorite part of conference right here. This is it. I love being with my brothers. Just in case there's any doubt on campus what we're up to this morning, I want to make sure that every now and then we let out a little manly cry from our deepest place. So that means every time I say, make some noise, I want to hear from you guys, booyah. Let's just practice that, all right? Make some noise.
Booyah!
I said make some noise.
Booyah!
Brilliant. We'll be using that throughout the morning. Hope that's okay with you. So my name is Jimmy Mitchell. I said last night that I'm from Nashville. I've lived there for the last 11 years, but I grew up actually all over the place. My dad has always worked for IBM. That's short for I've been moved. It's like being a military brat. You move everywhere. We lived in Boston, Massachusetts, Johnson City, Tennessee, Birmingham, Alabama, North Georgia, and then we ended up back in Atlanta by the time I was in middle school. So I did have some stability from about 7th through 12th grade. And I can tell you that brotherhood, from the guys I played football with for 9 years and ended up winning a state championship with my senior year, from the guys that I wrestled with, even the guys that I went off to college with and grew in brotherhood and discipleship with in Bible studies and accountability groups, it's changed my life. Brotherhood has changed my life. Understanding what it means to be a man. I can't imagine a far more glorious challenge and task for us as men. To understand what it means to live an authentic, masculine spirituality. Because guess what? The world that we're living in doesn't care. In fact, the world that we're living in at this point sees very little, if any, difference between man and woman. We're living in an increasingly androgynous society. You know what I'm talking about? You guys can probably see it in the media. Maybe you can even hear it in the locker room at times. What does it mean to be a man? That's the question that we're going to try to answer this morning. All right, gentlemen, check this out. We're going to jump into three different understandings of what it means to be a man. The first two are lies, deceptions. The last one is truth. I don't know about you guys, but sometimes I really struggle with identifying too closely with my sinfulness It's a really good thing to examine our conscience every day. In fact, I've heard it said that you should only think about yourself for about 2 minutes a day, and it should be your examination at the very end of the day. Imagine how different the world would be if we took that approach to life. We'd wake up with fresh resolution. We'd go to bed with some peace, knowing that God is merciful. We'd have a resolution, probably to go to confession quickly, especially if we were in the state of mortal sin. But at the end of the day, we are not the sum of our weaknesses and failures. So this first category of deception is identifying too closely with our failures, with our sinfulness. The second, sort of the opposite end of pride, actually, is being a little bit too caught up in ourselves. That, in fact, we seek more our own glory than that of God himself. If you ever feel like you're on an emotional coaster ride, sometimes a little too high off the ground because of a success in life, a little too low in the dirt because of failure, you actually have an identity crisis. Because neither one of those things define you. The truth is that Jesus Christ defines us, which is where we're going to land. That's where we're going to conclude this morning, that what matters most is what Jesus Christ did on the cross. What was once only his by nature is now ours by grace. Beloved sonship. This is, in fact, the meaning of Christianity. The meaning of the gospel of Jesus Christ is that we are adopted by God the Father in Jesus Christ. We become his sons. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we can live into that identity day in and day out, most powerfully through prayer and through brotherhood. That's the trajectory this morning. Smile and nod if you're on board. Brilliant. We're going to open up John 10 again, beginning with verse 10. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. And here's verse 10. A thief comes only to steal and slaughter and destroy. How many of you guys thought middle school was kind of rough? I didn't particularly enjoy that sixth grade year of being bullied. I didn't particularly enjoy seventh grade showing up at a slumber party, sleepover, whatever we called it back in those days, with all my football buddies. Only to find out that one of them had brought a duffel bag of pornography, both in magazine form and DVD form and kind of every other imaginable form of the day. Because guess what? We didn't have smartphones. We really hardly had laptops 15 years ago. And what it took me losing at a slumber party, you guys can lose day in and day out in your back pocket because of those smartphones. It's amazing how much temptation there is around us. And I remember that day feeling like my innocence had been stolen. My purity had been slaughtered. Something inside of me died that night as a seventh grader, and it felt terrible. I couldn't necessarily understand it, but I knew that it was a violation of my dignity and a violation of the dignity of woman to look at those images. Quite frankly, it was a couple of years later before I really began to commit the sin of masturbation. And that took on a whole new evil and brought on all new havoc and trouble in my life. But in between those two incidences, in between those two beginning stages of an addiction, I met Jesus Christ. I mentioned last night at age 14, I saw him face to face in adoration for the first time. And I realized at age 14 as a freshman in high school that God was God and I was not. That was a game-changing moment for me. Suddenly, it took a lot of the pressure off. Suddenly, confession became absolutely imperative. But you know what? Even as I was growing in my relationship with the Lord all through high school, I don't know that I was making too many strides in my life of virtue. I started listening to a lot of Christian music. That was kind of cool at the time. For me, that was a big deal. I started reading a lot of books before I went to bed at night that I thought would kind of help me become a better man. But at the end of the day, I didn't have brotherhood, and I didn't have prayer. My prayer life was simple. I prayed before meals, and I went to Mass on Sundays. That was it. That was literally it for me. I played piano at the Life Teen Mass at my parish, so that was cool because it kept me at least within the walls of the church two nights a week, because we'd have to rehearse for a couple hours on Tuesdays, and of course I was there for Sunday about half the day every single week for 5 years. So I was around grace. I was so close to Jesus and his limitless love and glory. And yet that grace was splashing off of me like I was just a wall. And it was because of these sins against purity and chastity. Literally, my soul spent most of its high school career in the state of mortal sin. It's just that simple. There's this priest in Nashville. He's pretty old, 87 now. And he always says whenever you go to confession, it's pretty scary. But, you know, if you get in there and, you know, you really lay it out, at some point he'll say, you know, if you commit those sins and you die before you get to confession, you're going to hell. I'm always like, Father, that's an intense thing to say. At least that's what I'm thinking. But in my heart, I realize the great need I have for that sacrament. That every time I fall, the best way to conquer those sins is to allow grace in immediately. To run to the confessional after every serious sin. Just like Father said last night, God never tires of forgiving us. It's us who tire of asking for his forgiveness. And I tired very much of asking for his forgiveness in high school. I maybe went to confession every 6 months. Every now and then, there was a third or a fourth time over the course of an entire year that I would go. But it was only when it was convenient. It was only when I was at a conference like this or a retreat or at my Catholic high school twice a year during Lent and Advent. I didn't understand the urgency, the need, the desperate need for mercy in my life. And along the way, I was listening to these lies that I was the sum of my weaknesses and failures. Somebody resonate with some of those sentiments this morning? I want to encourage you right now to spend 5 minutes in a group of three. It can be a group of two or four out of necessity, but ideally a group of three. I encourage you to be bold. Be vulnerable. Don't hold anything back with your brothers this morning. When I finally had a group of men in college that I could be accountable to, things began to change. All of the lies began to unravel. Suddenly, all of these sins and these addictions came into the light, and the devil got out because he can't handle the light. He can't handle it. That's why we bring our sins to confession week in and week out sometimes. Gentlemen, there's been times where I've been in confession twice a week out of utter necessity. We've got to be that bold. We've got to be that courageous. And even now, for a few moments, I want you to open up with two other guys near you and talk about some of these struggles of identifying too closely with your sinfulness. Sometimes we identify so closely with it that we kind of freak out and we run in the opposite direction of mercy because we don't think God can forgive us or we don't think he can conquer us. And I'm here to tell you this morning, gentlemen, that Jesus can conquer these sins. He can show you what it means to be a man. That at every confession, he not only forgives your sins, but he delivers you from them. He holds out the grace for you to never commit those sins again. How many of us are going to dispose ourselves of that grace this weekend? To lay it out and never commit these sins again. The possibilities before us. Let's take a few moments to share. It might not be in the area of purity and chastity, but some area in your life where you identify too closely with your own sinfulness. So much so that you start to feel pretty dejected, pretty discouraged, and maybe you even run in the opposite direction. I'll give you 5 minutes and then we'll gather back together. I got to listen in on this group up here. I'm super impressed. Sounds like there's some real vulnerability happening right now. You know, I don't know about you guys, but it is super easy to give up along the way. You know, sometimes it's because, you know, we're hungry, we're tired, we're lonely, we're sick, stressed, any number of these things. Our defenses are down. Suddenly temptation comes and we just fall. And sometimes we think we're just going to keep falling because we keep going back to confession saying the same things over and over again. But gentlemen, you can't give up. One of my favorite professors at seminary, I was only a seminarian for a year, by the way. And it was right out of college and he said, Jimmy, you can't give up on the struggle. You have to be faithful to it. You can't give up. I really believe that's what the Lord wants to speak to y'all's hearts this morning. That there is victory down the road for you guys. There is grace always on the horizon. In fact, the very realization that we need to go to confession is grace. That means God is with you. He's drawing you closer to himself. You know, it's kind of interesting. Sometimes we're in the clear for a few weeks or a few months at a time. We feel like we're really growing in grace and growing in wisdom. Has anybody ever had a season of life like that? Maybe right after a conference or a retreat like this, mission trip. You kind of feel like, oh, man, I got this. You know, suddenly you're starting to feel really good about yourself. And that's where this other character in this gospel passage comes in. The first one is allowing the thief to define us. And in defining us, he only steals and slaughters and destroys. But the other character is the hired hand. A hired man who is not a shepherd and whose sheep are not his own sees a wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away, and the wolf catches and scatters them. This is because he works for pay and has no concern for the sheep. Sometimes we put on these masks. Sometimes we begin to think that who we are is actually wrapped up in what we do and what we accomplish. And that's sort of like working for a hired hand, because when things actually get difficult, we abandon ship. Maybe some of you can resonate with that. It's a little bit different from the thief, from the wolf. The hired man sort of walks around looking awfully good by all appearances, and yet there's something utterly counterfeit about him. Because when the rubber hits the road, when the going gets tough, he runs. He doesn't step up like a man to protect, to defend, to provide for. And this is ultimately what it means to be a man, by the way. To protect, to defend, to be willing to lay down our lives. For some of us, that's going to mean marriage. And every day, lovingly embracing the cross for love of our wives and our children. For some of us, that's going to mean priesthood or religious life or consecrated virginity. And that means day in and day out, lovingly embracing the cross for love of the church and for love of souls. But it doesn't matter who we are or what our vocation is. At the end of our lives, we will approach God in heaven. And he'll have two things for us. The first is a question. The second is a demand. The question is, how did you love your spouse? Whether that was in fact a woman on earth or the church herself. How did you give yourself away in love? And did you do it well? The demand, show me your children. Show me your children. Every one of us are called to be fathers. And if we don't become fathers in this life, we will become predators. There is nothing in between anymore, gentlemen. The battle line has been drawn. More than ever in our culture, we're either going to be fathers, biological and or spiritual fathers, or we will be predators. We're either with Jesus Christ or we're against him. Check out this movie clip. It's from the second most recent Rocky Balboa. You can see the son of Rocky confused about his identity, putting himself and his understanding of self in all the wrong things. And reminds me so much of the hired man. Check this out.
You guys are joking, he's gonna get crushed.
Is this from the father?
From the back.
It's unbelievable. You're full. You're doing good. Yeah. You're enjoying everything, all right? Excuse me. How you doing? Glad you come by.
Can I talk with you?
Sure.
Can you do it outside?
It's
So you're going through with this?
Yeah, I start training tomorrow.
Hey, Rob, I made some connections. I could make some money on this endorsements.
Absolutely, do that.
Thank you, Rob.
Sure.
Okay.
So you nervous about the fight?
I'm scared to death.
You don't look scared?
Well, you ain't supposed to.
Then you don't have to do it.
Yeah, well, I think I do.
You know, living with you, it hasn't been easy. People see me, but they think of you. Now with all this going on, this is gonna be worse than ever.
It don't have to be.
No, sure it does.
Why? You got a lot going on, kid.
Oh, well, my last name? That's the reason I got a decent job. That's the reason why people deal with me in the first place. Now I start to get a little ahead. I start to get a little something for myself. And this happens. Now I'm asking you as a favor not to go through with this, okay? This is only gonna end up bad for you, and it's gonna end up bad for me.
You think I'm hurting you?
Yeah, in a way you are.
It's the last thing I ever wanted to do.
I know that's not what you want to do, but that's just the way that it is. Don't you care what people think? Doesn't it bother you that people are making you out to be a joke and that I'm going to be included in that? Do you think that's right? Do you?
You ain't going to believe this, but you used to fit right here. I'd hold you up and say to your mother, this kid's going to be the best kid in the world. This kid's going to be somebody better than anybody ever knew. And you grew up good and wonderful. It was great just watching. Every day was like a privilege. Then the time come for you to be your own man and take on the world, and you did. But somewhere along the line, you changed. You stopped being you. You let people stick a finger in your face and tell you you're no good. And when things got hard, you started looking for something to blame, like a big shadow. Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. It's a very mean and nasty place, and I don't care how tough you are, it will beat you to your knees and keep you there permanently if you let it. You, me, or nobody is gonna hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward, how much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done. Now, if you know what you're worth, now go out and get what you're worth. But you gotta be willing to take the hits and not pointing fingers saying you ain't where you wanna be because of him or her or anybody. Cowards do that, and that ain't you. You're better than that. I'm always gonna love you no matter what. No matter what happens. You're my son, you're my blood. You're the best thing in my life. But until you start believing in yourself, you ain't gonna have a life. Don't forget to visit your mother. Yeah, this is beautiful.
Yeah.
You get off early from work?
No. I left. I quit.
Quit why?
I wasn't very... I don't know, I didn't fit in there.
I understand. So what are you gonna do?
Right now? Right now, I'd rather be with you. Is that all right?
Yeah.
It's been a long time since I've seen a fight.
We're going to take a few minutes, probably three, maybe four, to get back into our groups of three and four and talk about how we often identify too closely with our successes or what other people think. And in so doing, we get locked up and paralyzed because we never allow Christ to live within us. We never really die to ourselves because we're so caught up in ourselves. We're sort of receiving all the glory rather than giving it immediately to God himself. Take 3 or 4 minutes, and then I'll get you back up here. Is anybody a little bit of an overachiever? Maybe sometimes you're caught up in building a resume for college, or you just care way too much what coaches think, what teachers think, maybe your own parents or the friends around you's parents. That's what this hired man is all about, getting caught up in all the wrong things, but sort of keeping the facade. And there's a certain division in your soul that takes place when that happens, and it feels incredibly disingenuous. It actually makes me anxious whenever I feel like I don't have what's called unity of life. The church fathers have always talked about that, unity of life, an integrity in our manhood, so that who we are on the inside kind of radiates on the outside. Beloved son. St. Jose Maria Escrivá, one of my favorite saints, he used to always say that holy pride, when you're walking down the street, thinking about your beloved sonship, that holy pride that makes you want to throw your shoulders back and your head up, that's good. That's the right kind of pride because it's all to God's glory and the work of his son on the cross that allows us to be loved, that allows us to be called his sons. So the question now becomes, how do we rest in that identity? How do we rest in the Father's embrace? I think it was his first Easter Vigil homily, Pope Francis said, the whole of the Christian life can be summed up in this standing in the in-between of our baptismal embrace and the merciful embrace of every confession. The whole of our Christian life can be summed up standing in between those two embraces by God the Father, the one that begins our life in Christ at baptism and the one that renews it in every confession. The man who wants to be fully alive must confess his sins regularly. There's just no other option. If you guys want to rest in this embrace, if you want to lean into this identity as beloved sons, form a firm resolution in your heart before you leave tomorrow to go to confession regularly. That might mean once a month. It might mean once every 2 weeks. I work with a group of high school guys in Nashville who go every single week because they need it. They need it. Let's not sell ourselves short. It's okay to be selfish with the sacraments. And then what does our prayer life look like beyond confession? Are we able to get to Mass maybe once or twice a week outside of Sundays? If we are, why aren't we running to that great sacrament of God's love? When heaven touches down, every time we receive the Eucharist, we're given strength. We become more fully who we are called to be. Let's not sell ourselves short on that either. How many of us wake up in the morning, hit our knees, and offer our days to the Lord? It's called a morning offering. It's very simple. You can offer yourselves prayers, joys, work, and sufferings to the Immaculate Heart of Mary in union with the holy sacrifice of the Mass said throughout the world. Those few words of offering at the beginning of your day can transform the rest of it. How many of us do, in fact, hit our knees again at the end of the day to examine our consciences well? To ask God how we have failed to love him, failed to love others. But then also to look back at our day and see all the ways in which he was at work in our lives, all the blessings, all of the graces. If we don't have a prayer life, if we don't open up scripture on a regular basis and come to know Jesus Christ in these pages, we'll forget who we are. I have another friend who says that Christianity can be summed up in this one word: remembrance. Remembering who we are. as beloved sons. And you can't remember it day in and day out without prayer, without the sacraments. And the last piece is our brotherhood. We can call each other out. We can challenge one another. We can encourage each other in the walk towards holiness. I told you about this accountability group that I was in my first 2 years of college. About halfway into my second year, it was a little holiday in mid-February that I like to call Singles Awareness Day. You know what I'm talking about? Valentine's Day. And that particular year, all of my friends had really cool girlfriends or really cool dates that night, and I didn't. So I'm feeling a little bit pathetic. I'm sitting outside of a friend's dorm. We're about to head to a park not too far from there. And I reach my hand into my pocket, and I immediately feel a rosary that I've been holding there for about 2 months, but I had no idea how to pray it, no idea whatsoever. So I thought, all right, why do I keep keeping this in my pocket? What's that all about? And as soon as I sort of had this combination of thoughts of feeling kind of lame without a date tonight, and I'm feeling kind of curious as to why I'm still holding this rosary, suddenly a voice came, not out of the clouds, but in the depths of my heart. And I believe it was God saying, Jimmy, if you ever want to fall in love with a woman on earth, you must first know and love your mother in heaven. And only a few weeks later, Lent began, and I read a book by Scott Hahn called Hail, Holy Queen, the Mother of God and the Word of God. I recommend it highly. And I began praying the rosary every day. I had a cheat sheet in my back pocket because I had no idea how to do it. And by the time Easter rolled around, I was smitten, and I was in love with Jesus Christ in a whole new way through Mary. And I want to end on this note because it's a Saturday, and every Saturday is a memorial of Our Lady. And as men, we need her in our lives. We need her maternal protection. We need to know her and love her because she shows us what it means to be woman. She reminds us what true beauty is all about. And when we're in love with true beauty, we don't settle for the counterfeits anymore. No longer does pornography or masturbation have any hold, much less appeal on our hearts when we're in love with love. Because it begins to look really stupid. It begins to look like an utter waste of time. In fact, it'll eventually bore you. Sin will eventually bore you as you fall more in love with Jesus Christ. Can you imagine walking into a steak restaurant and going straight through the restaurant out to the dump in the back and eating the scraps and finding satisfaction in that? And yet that's what so many of us do. We settle for the scraps of life, all of the half-truths and the counterfeits. But Jesus wants us to receive him whole and entire. Body, blood, soul, and divinity at every Mass. In all of his boundless, limitless mercy in every confession. And all the strength and love that he gives us through our brotherhood. Gentlemen, form firm resolutions over the next day and a half. Don't leave here the same man that you were when you showed up yesterday. It's got to be more than just a high. And it's good that we have these experiences on mountaintops, but Jesus wants us to be men living in the trenches. Thank you. Because you know what? As Rocky said to his son, it doesn't matter how hard we hit in life. It's about getting up again and again and again and never losing hope in God's mercy, never losing hope that he has a profound, unique, and unrepeatable plan for our lives. And if we say yes as men and we become the husbands and fathers that we're called to be regardless of our permanent vocation, we will set the world ablaze. We will leave a blazing trail of light behind us everywhere we go. We'll storm heaven. And we will, in fact, bring an army of souls with us. And gentlemen, anything less than that will not satisfy the deepest desires of your heart. Anything less than that will eventually prove utterly boring and worthless. So let's say yes this weekend. Beyond this experience, let's say yes to the Lord in the trenches. Let's say yes to that ongoing relationship with Jesus Christ in prayer and through our brotherhood. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You can pull out your commitment cards. We'll close with this prayer together, and I encourage you to hang on to these, whether it's in your wallet or in the top drawer of your desk at home, to call to mind this moment, hopefully a moment of grace that'll become a memory of God's love, memory of God's calling in your life to holiness. Because we're not made for comfort. We're made for greatness. We'll pray this together. Jesus, thank you for the abundant life you have gained for me on the cross. I want to know you and love you above all else. Therefore, I commit myself to daily prayer and listening to your truth in the scriptures. I renounce the lies of the world and Satan. I choose to follow your voice and live as your disciple. I give you the gift of my sexuality. Holy Spirit, give me the grace to commit to a life of virtue, chastity, and freedom. Jesus, I trust in you. May my life glorify you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.